Iowa.
Good morning. Try following that three times on the first weekend you preach in big church. It's interesting. Hey, before we go much further, I want to let you guys know about an opportunity that we have coming up just around the corner. If you've been around Northeast for a little while, you probably know about Love the Ville, and you may have heard how last summer, about this same time of year, we helped out our partner schools. We went to them, we said, hey, what can we do to you to help, what can we do with you to help get ready for the school year? And then they gave us a list, and we went, and we just knocked it out for them so that they could be ready to go. And because of how well that went, word kind of spread. And this year, instead of just doing six, we're doing 11 schools in the Jefferson County and Oldham County area. So, yeah, we're excited about that. So here's what that means. It means we need you. We need all hands on deck. So what we're going to do right now, we're all going to take out our phones and go to the Northeast app. And right there in the middle on the Northeast app, it says, Love the Ville, sign up today. You can click that tile and go ahead and sign up. And what I love about this registration is it lists all 11 of the schools that we're going to be serving at. And so if you're a parent of a student at one of those schools, we'd encourage you to think about signing up for that school. And then maybe even think about talking to some of your other parent friends and inviting them to come Love the Ville with you that day, regardless of if they go to Northeast or not. And then if you can't join us that day for that Love the Ville opportunity, then we have another opportunity for you that same weekend, August 6th and 7th, to help us with a supply drive to help our partner schools get ready for the year. So you can see more information about that in your bulletin. So as John said, I am the high school minister here at Northeast. I've been here for about 2.5 years. And since this is the first time I get to speak with you guys, I don't know a lot of you in the room, I thought I'd start just by kind of introducing myself a little. So just a few things about me. First off, number one, I'm a new dad. My wife and I, we just had our first son, Fletcher, about 3 months ago. He's the coolest little guy ever. Jason talked last week about his kids a little bit, and he talked to you about like the sleep rhythms. Fletcher's is bounce and sway, bounce and sway. What Jason didn't say about the sleep rhythms is that they kind of stick with you. You know what I'm saying? Like I hand them off to my wife, and I'm still bounce and sway. And I just don't get it. Oh, here, this is a good one. He's a big 4th of July fan, full-blooded American boy. Love the sparklers, good time. And then one more picture after this one. Yeah, I could do this all morning. He's pretty awesome. Yeah, this one, he went to high school camp with us a couple of weeks ago, so we had to put earmuffs on him so that his eardrums didn't like blow out or something. So I talk to parents a lot who have like freshmen, and they're like, yeah, I think my freshman may be too young for high school camp this year. My 3-month-old just did it. So just saying, I think he can handle it. I'm a new dad. I love it. My wife has enough pictures on Instagram that I could literally do this for the next 30 minutes, but they weren't going to let me do that this morning, so we got to move on. Secondly, I'm a sports guy. Any other sports fans in the room? No? Okay, that's cool. I'm a big sports guy. I love playing them, love watching them, all about them. As a matter of fact, about 80% of this message was written with SportsCenter playing in the background. It's just kind of the sound of our house. It's just kind of the way it goes. And more than just a sports guy, I'm a baseball guy. I'm a big St. Louis Cardinals fan. Any other St. Louis Cardinals fans? Yeah, there's one of God's people in the house this morning. So I love baseball. I played baseball growing up, played a lot of it on through college. And this is really kind of where Tyler McKenzie and I first really connected. I remember whenever I came on staff, we went out to eat lunch one day, and sitting across the table of him, we were, you know, just talking about our playing days. And Tyler brings up, as many of you probably know, that he holds an NCAA record. And I thought, man, this cat must be good, you know? And so I asked him, well, what is it in? And he says, hit by pitches. And And as a pitcher, I just kind of thought to myself, well, man, that doesn't take any skill at all. I've hit several batters and never once thought, man, they're really good at playing baseball. So, no, I love Tyler. He actually is really good at playing baseball. So, and third and lastly, I'm a church guy. Love church. I love this church. Grew up in the church. Actually, my family and I lived just across the street from the church that we went to whenever I was growing up, and spent a lot of time there. My friends and I would go over there and play basketball in the gym and just kind of hang out over there with the youth minister. And so this topic that we're talking about through this series of heaven, it's not really a new one. And I'm sure it's not new to any of you either, but it's still just a really interesting topic. Something really interesting to talk about. And as a matter of fact, if you were to kind of just go ask people on the street, you know, what is Christianity all about? They would probably come up with some answer having to do with heaven. It'd probably be something, you know, along the lines of, well, you know, you have to be a good person so you can get into heaven. And that's kind of the most common idea of heaven, is that it's this ultimate end goal that we get and we get to go to if you're a nice person and kind of color inside the lines. And heaven is almost always talked about in these very future terms. We'll go there, we'll do that someday. But what if heaven is more of a present reality than you realize? 2 weeks ago, Tyler talked about the first hour in heaven. And at the very beginning, the top, he talked about heaven in a couple of different ways. He said things like, you know, that God is there. And so because of that, that love will be there and peace will be there. And one of the things that Tyler reminded us about that morning is that heaven is where God's people are. Heaven is where God's people are. And I love that terminology. I love the way he worded that, because it alludes to this truth that heaven is as much a now thing as a future thing. In the Lord's Prayer, which is one of the most often quoted scriptures in all the Bible, Jesus kind of speaks to this idea of heaven and the fact that it's a present reality. He says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if you're like me, you've quoted this hundreds of times, or maybe you've read it several times. And if you're like me, you may think something along the lines of, man, what went wrong with this prayer? Right? Like Jesus prayed this 2,000 years ago, right? May your kingdom come soon. Have you read the news headlines? Have you watched the news recently? Right? I mean, heaven now, just, it can't be something that's true. If that's the case, it must just be this prayer, this hope and a dream. There's no way that heaven is a present reality on earth. It must just be this great future expectation. And honestly, it kind of reminds me of this conversation that my parents and I had a lot my senior year of high school. And if you're a parent of a senior, I want to let you know you're going to have this conversation this year. And if you aren't there yet, you will be having this conversation. And it was because I had a bad case of senioritis as a senior, like a really bad case. I'd already gotten the score on the ACT that I needed, already gotten into the school that I knew I was going to be going to. And so I was kind of living in this in-between world that a lot of seniors find themselves in of, you know, I'm kind of done with this place, but I can't quite move on to what's next. And so that year was really hard. I had zero motivation. I would go weeks at a time where I didn't bring books home from school to study. Homework became really difficult because my cat kept eating it. I didn't have a dog. And basically everything else in life was about 10 times more interesting than school, because I had just kind of already decided that I had done everything I needed to get by. But not my parents. Right? They just didn't quite understand it the same way I did. And so there was this tension in our house and this conversation that just kept happening. I can't tell you how many times my parents would tell me things like, hey, Daniel, get your homework done. Daniel, focus. Daniel, get in there, get it done, get back to work. I mean, they stayed on me constantly. And I think it was because they understood something that I just didn't yet, which was this: that just because you know where you're going doesn't mean you don't still have a job to do. You see, your kingdom come, your will be done is more than a prayer. It's a lifestyle. And the context of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew is the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, if you ever read it, you know this is like one of the most practical sermons you may ever hear on how to just live life as a kingdom person, as a heaven now person. And even if Jesus didn't preach that sermon around this prayer, he lived it. He lived it out. Then the next, after Jesus finishes preaching in Matthew 7, the next three chapters are full of stories about Jesus healing people and doing miracles and just loving people. He and the disciples turn around and they live out heaven now. See, one of the best things about heaven is that if you're a Jesus follower, then it's yours. Signed, sealed, delivered, it's yours. Peter, one of Jesus' closest followers, says it this way in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. He says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live with great expectation. We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay." And if you're a Jesus follower, heaven is yours today, regardless of where you've been or where you'll go, regardless of what you've done or what you will do, heaven is yours today by God's mercy. And heaven now means that we have this great expectation, this great hope that we've been given. And I think the question is, what do you do with it? About a month ago, I got to go and spend a week in the Dominican Republic with 11 of our high school students and a few adults on a mission trip. And it was just an incredible week. Some of your kids were on this trip, and they will tell you that it was just a life-changing week for them. And while we were there, we got the opportunity to work with this guy named Eves. He's in the top right of this picture here. And Eves was the pastor at this small little church that some of our kids ran a camp at for the week for some of the kids in the community. And he was also in charge of the orphanage that many of our students worked at and built a playground and just loved on these Haitian orphans for a week. One of my favorite things about Eves personally was that he spoke English, which if you've been on an international mission trip, you'll understand. But if you haven't, then I'll just kind of tell you this way. What that meant for me was that I got to have a conversation with someone that went beyond, "Hello, my name is Daniel. How are you? How old are you? And where's the bathroom?" Right? Because that's just kind of the only Spanish that I knew. And so I remember sitting down with Eves and getting to talk to him. And one of the things that just strikes you about Eves whenever you meet him is that he's just an intelligent guy. I mean, super smart. He knows five languages fluently and just extremely eloquent with his words. And so I remember sitting down with him and just kind of asking, you know, "Hey, how'd you end up here? How'd you end up at this small church out in a small town out in this community near Santiago? How'd you end up running this orphanage?" And I remember he goes on to explain to me that he had actually been a Haitian orphan, which anyone who knows much about the life of orphans will tell you that that's a fairly hopeless situation and scenario to find yourself in, regardless of where you are in the world. I mean, the statistics are staggering. And one of them that just kind of blows me away that I thought I'd share is every year, over 14 million children age out of the system. And it's just hopeless. However, when Eves was six, hope entered his world in the form of a family that began to sponsor him through Compassion International. And this isn't a commercial for Compassion International, but if it was, it'd be a really, really good one, because Eves goes on to meet Jesus and then gets a law degree and a bachelor's in theology because of this family that just decided to invest in this kid they didn't know through Compassion International. And to this day, Eve still doesn't know who that family is. It's just incredible to me. You see, because Eve's received hope, he now gives hope to over 50 Haitian orphans living in the Dominican Republic. He runs three different orphanages around the city of Santiago. Because he received hope, he became a beacon of hope. And that's what hope does to you. That's what Jesus does to you. That's what heaven does to you. It becomes a part of you. It changes the very nature of who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone and a new life has begun. And heaven now means that you are a new person, a new identity, which for some of you in the room is like the best news you've heard all week, or maybe ever, because if you're being honest with yourself and with others, you just really don't like who you were. Maybe you've been places or done things that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy, and you sure enough don't want your kids having to go through that, but you're a new person. The old is gone and the new has come, and Jesus, he looks at you and he says, you are clean. And the only way you're going back there is with me. Or maybe you've looked in the mirror and you just don't really like who you see looking back. You've never really liked who you saw looking back. And you've worked and worked and worked, and you just never really have measured up to what society says you should be or what you should look like. And if you're being really honest with yourself, it's haunted you well beyond your teen years. But you're a new person. The old is gone and the new has come, and you no longer have to define yourself by what the world says about you, but you get to define yourself based on who Jesus says you are and what he says about you. Or maybe you've just simply never put anything first other than yourself. And whenever you think about life and what it all adds up to, what it all means in the grand scheme of things, it's just really empty, regardless of how many achievements you have. But you're a new person. And the old is gone and the new has come, and the life that Jesus has in store for you is full and abundant. I can't think of new identity and becoming a new person without thinking of my friend Juliet Rose. Juliet and I went to college together. You're going to see her in a second, and you're going to think, man, you guys were in college together? You're much older than I thought you were. But she was there as a non-traditional student. And I remember the first time that I saw Juliet was in a chapel. I went to a Christian college. We had chapel every Tuesday. And you would kind of expect that that would be just this incredible time of worship and everyone's in there really enjoying it. But if I'm being honest, most of the time that's not what chapel was. It was kind of this thing we did every week that kind of felt like an obligation. And just being honest, it was really quite monotonous for most of us. And so whenever there was someone in there who looked a little different or who was doing things a little different, you noticed. And so I remember seeing Juliet down in the front, and she was getting it. I mean, she was worshiping with her hands in the air and swaying back and forth and kind of just singing at the top of her lungs. And I remember thinking to myself, man, who is that lady? What is going on with her? What is going on in her life? And luckily, I got to find out. And luckily for you, some of our friends at Southland did too, and they put together a video. Let's watch this.
There's absolutely nothing I haven't done, up to and including murder. I didn't put a gun to anybody's head, but I drove the car that killed my best friend in a drunk driving accident. I was basically born into addiction. My mother was I don't want to say an alcoholic, but she was a drunk. So I remember being in the bars as a little girl with her. And my mother met a man that would become my stepdad. And monsters became real at 4 years old. I was molested by my stepdad until I was nine. I was 9 years old before I realized that everyone's dad wasn't like mine. When I spent the night at a friend's house from school, and bedtime at her house was a lot different than mine. I hated my stepdad. I hated him. And I didn't want to be around him. And so I found every opportunity to be away from the house. At 16, I was given a choice, him or someone else. And so I thought my chances on the street were better than they ever were at home. And I took that chance and quit school. Had no education. I was 16 years old. I was a prostitute. I lived in prostitution and drug addiction from 16 to 40. When I was 31, I got pregnant with my first son. By the time I was 35, I was pregnant with my second son. But it didn't change me. It didn't change my addiction. I just thought that I was invincible and I could do what I want. When they were 4 and 8, the Jasper County Drug Task Force kicked in my doors. And they took the only two people in the world that ever loved me unconditionally. Rock bottom was when they took my children. Because I always swore if I had ever had a chance to be a mother, I was never going to be. My children were never going to go through what I went through. And at that moment, I just felt, you know, you're no better than anything that's ever been done to you. Because I did exactly what I swore I'd never do, and it was put my children through misery. I came home from work one night, and I just felt like my life was a total train wreck. It was a train wreck. I remember my house being so empty, and I felt like there was no hope. And I remember trying to go up the stairs and falling at the bottom of the staircase and using it as an altar and crying out to God. And I told God at that point, I said, I got nothing. I got nothing. And I surrendered my life that night. And I told God if I had to serve him from prison, because that's where I deserved to spend the rest of my life, or if I had to serve him from the streets because I had nowhere to go, I was going to serve him. And I really felt God speak to me and say, now I can use you. And I'm going to use every vile thing that's ever happened in your life to touch the lives of other women. And that's what he does today. We have a recovery program, and it's a women's ministry where we lead people to Christ and show them their worth. We take women that have been homeless, abused, addicted, off the streets, out of prison, out of jail. Women who, just like myself, they don't have any stories. They don't have good memories. And we're helping them to build good memories. The last 12 years of my life has been the best 12 years of my life, knowing Christ. The relief of being forgiven, wow, that was huge. Because it was more than just falling at that step that night and crying out to God and saying, you know what, Lord, my life is a mess and I need help. I think there were several months, and maybe still today, that I find myself going back and crying out for that forgiveness. I should be in prison the rest of my life or standing at the gates of hell, and I'm not. And I know I should be. I've killed people. I've hurt people. I've ruined marriages. And yet I can still come before the throne of grace and wash his feet with my tears, dry up with my hair, and he still loves me.
Yeah. Juliet started that safe house while we were still in college, and one of the things that was a part of that safe house is every Tuesday, her and those ladies would show up to chapel. And so it wasn't just Juliet down there by herself anymore with her hands raised, swaying back and forth and singing real loud to the music. All of those ladies were there with her. You see, that's what happens when heaven becomes your present reality. You get a new hope, you get a new identity, and you get a new purpose. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says it this way. He says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And I know what you're thinking. Because I remember thinking it too whenever I heard Juliet's story for the first time. You're probably thinking one of two things. Some of you are thinking, how do I get that? How do I get a hold of that sort of passion and that sort of purpose? How do I get that? How do I get from where I am? Regardless, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus before, or maybe you're here and you accepted a long time ago, but you just haven't quite connected with him recently. How do I get from here to there? The answer is really quite simple. It's follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. For the first time or for the 100th time, follow Jesus. No one has ever outsinned his grace or outran his love, and that's all available to you today. And maybe if you haven't made that decision yet, then maybe next week is going to be the perfect opportunity for you. Tyler is going to offer an invitation at the end of the service, and we're going to have the baptistry set up out on Main Street. And so maybe that's your opportunity to take that first step in following Jesus and getting baptized. And some of you in the room are just thinking, you know, hey, that's awesome, but I don't have a story like that. Yeah, you know, I wasn't a prostitute who killed someone, so I can't do what she did. Or maybe I was never a Haitian orphan, so I can't do what he did. And part of that is probably true for the majority of us in the room, but I think there's a big takeaway for you and I, and I think it's this. It's just start with where, what, and who you know. Start with where, what, and who you know. Wherever you sinned, hurt, or got hurt the worst is more than likely exactly where God wants to use you today. That's exactly what they did. You know, I talk to countless adults who want to be a server in high school ministry because that's where their sin and hurt intersects with God's grace and love. And I love seeing high school students who begin to impact their schools with the love of Jesus because that's where, what, and who they know. That's where Jesus has put them. It makes me think of Ryan and Aaron Biddle, a couple of students in our high school ministry whose mom just knew a girl who once was homeless who made this comment that while she was homeless, the worst thing was being hungry. And so Ryan and Aaron just thought, well, you know, we can feed people. Making a sandwich is easy, and so that's what they did. They started making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and going and handing them out to homeless people here in Louisville. Or maybe you've heard of Officer Norman. He's a pretty popular guy these days. He's an officer in North Little Rock, Arkansas, who decided instead of letting the current tensions dictate the way that he does and sees his job, that he was going to be different, that he was going to let love and relationships take over, that they go much further. And if you go and you follow him on Instagram, you'll see pictures and videos and stories of how he goes about loving and caring for his community. And you'll see pictures of a young African-American girl in a cop car playing with his siren. You'll see videos of him dancing with little kids out on a hillside. You'll see him sitting on the porch talking to people, using their name because he knows them. He simply started with where, what, and who that he knew, and it spread like crazy. If you were to go and to look up his Instagram right now, you'd see that he has 1.2 million followers. And he's just a cop in Arkansas. And although I know a lot of you in the room don't have a clue what Instagram is or what that means, but basically it means this. He inspires people because of how he cares for his community. Because he started with where, what, and who he knew. So where is it for you? Where is it for you that your sin or hurt intersects with God's grace and love? What would happen if we decided that your kingdom come, your will be done was more than just a prayer? That it was a lifestyle. That it was going to be the lifestyle of us. That it was going to be how our church was known. Do you think it would make a difference? Do you think heaven now would become more of a reality in our communities, or in our homes, or in our schools? Because I do. I honestly do. I think if we decided that your kingdom come, your will be done, was how we were going to live our lives, that we were going to serve people with the love of Jesus because we have heaven as our hope, then I think it would change things. I think that's what Love the Ville is all about. As goofy as that name is, I think that's what it's all about. It's about bringing heaven to earth. It's the very work of bringing heaven to earth. And so that's my challenge to you. Over the next few weeks, as we close out this sermon series, figure out where that is for you, where your sin and love intersects with God's grace. And start there. Start with who, what, and where you know. Start with the school blitz in a couple of weeks. But just start loving people. Start caring for people. Start seeing heaven now. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you so much that you include us in this work of bringing heaven to earth. And God, I'm thankful that we don't do this alone, that we do it with each other and that you go with us, that you have set a path for us and that you're with us along the way, God. And I would pray that as a church that we just catch the vision of what it would look like if we were your people, if we decided that heaven now wasn't just a prayer, but that it was a lifestyle that we could live. God, I know you want to do great things in this community, and I pray that you do it through us. Praise in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here with us this morning. Got you out a little early, so enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll see you next week.